So open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 8. I'm going to share a little bit, then we're going to prepare our hearts. We're going to take communion this morning and reflect on God, reflect on what Jesus did for us. And he said to remember all that he did for us. And hasn't he done a lot for you? Think about what he has done for you in your whole life. How he provided, how he saved you, and how he just orders your steps. I love it. And what we have is real. It's real. It's not fake. It's not pretend. We don't have to maintain it. God maintains it. It's real. And so here, I think, and I've shared this before, it's regarding Jesus cleansing the leopard, you know, and it's a really beautiful story, and I think it's appropriate for this morning as we prepare our hearts for communion. So look at verse 1. It says here in chapter 8, verse 1, it says, when he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus put out his hand. He touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said, see that you tell no one, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony unto them. It's a beautiful, beautiful story. I think this portion of Scripture, it gives us this beautiful picture of spiritual cleansing, of salvation. It shows us the power and the passion of Jesus. It shows us his love, his desire to heal and to cleanse the most defiled person around. It's like that person you think could never get saved, or maybe that person you thought would never get saved. I was one of those persons, you know. Someone said, hey, of all your dad's kids, I thought you were the worst. I thought you wouldn't amount to anything. You know, you know these people who think, wow, that person is never going to get saved. A person who you might think is so defiled that you wouldn't even want to talk to them, let alone touch them. You know, there was one time when we were in the North Park Rec Center, and when we first started off as North Park Christian Fellowship, and there was about 60 of us in the fellowship, and we were, and pastor was up there, and he was teaching, and this man walked in, and he sat down in the very back in a chair, isolated, kind of like Andy by himself, you know, in a chair, isolated by himself. And I was watching him, and he was just crying. And so I got up, and I walked over there, and I kneeled down next to him, and I put my arm around him like this. And this man, oh, the smell was intense. He was a homeless man. He was so dirty that his skin, it was dirt. It was black. It was like taking over the color of his skin. He was a Mexican man. And as I put my hand, the minute I put my arm around him, I can feel the dirt on my arm. I can feel it on my clothes. And I was praying for him, and he was crying. And I was just like, the minute I stopped praying for him and I lift my arm up, I had dirt on my arm like this. And it was actually the smell and everything was on my clothes. And he got up and he gave me this big hug. And then he walked off. Someone who you might think is so defiled that you wouldn't even want to touch them. Wouldn't want to talk to them. But Jesus here, he had this great passion of love for us and for those people and for the whole world. Look at verse 1. It says, when he came down from the mountain, these great multitudes followed him. Now they followed Jesus because they were astonished at his teaching, because in chapter 7 of Matthew, it says that when Jesus had ended his teachings, that the people were astonished at his teaching, and he taught them as one having authority and not as a scribe. There was something about this man, right? Isn't that what caught your eye? What was it that caught your eyes about Jesus? Something about this man, this teacher, you know. He wasn't like any other teacher. He wasn't like any other man. It makes me wonder why I come to Jesus. Why do you come to Jesus? What is it? Or what did he do for you that caused you to want to follow him? Think about it. The multitudes, they follow him. We're talking a multitude, a great number of persons who were assembled together, a numerous amount of people that was around Jesus. Now, we're not talking just a handful. We're talking multitudes of people all around him. And then in verse 2, it says this leper, he came, he worshiped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. You know, in spite of all the people that were around Jesus, here comes this leper. You know, a person who everyone saw as the most defiled and unclean person around. Even the leper himself felt this way. In fact, when other leopards came, they would isolate themselves or even other leopards. Because they didn't want to be, you know, get what that, if that person was worse off than you, you wouldn't want to catch what he had. But what we see here is that this leopard, he shows us by and demonstrates that no person is too unclean. No person is too undefiled, too dirty, too sinful to come to Jesus Christ. Sometimes we might think, but this is what the picture of this man shows us here. And I want you to see three important facts about the faith of this leopard. And you can write them down. The first fact is that when this leper came to Jesus, he came despite what the people thought of him. He didn't allow the multitude of people to determine him from coming to Jesus. He came to Jesus in the worst of his circumstance. Isn't that what the Lord wants? He said, come as you are. You don't know this, but look around at each other. There's a leopard sitting by you. Because you know what? Leprosy can be, compared to sin. And sin is worse. Because not only those who are dying of sin, not only are they going to die physically, but they're going to die spiritually. And I'm sure this leopard knew what he was coming against. He was coming against the physical, the mental, the emotional, the spiritual abuse that he was about to face from the multitude of people that were around Jesus. He came despite being utterly unclean, both physically and spiritually. Can you imagine having the law against you? Having the law, the word of God, the Mosaic law there in Leviticus chapter 13 tell you that you can't come to church, that you can't come to fellowship, that you can't come and be with others. Because that's what it says in chapter 13. It says that a leper who has sores, his clothes shall be torn and his head bare, and he shall cover his mustache and cry, unclean, unclean. And he shall be unclean. All the days that he has sores, he shall be unclean. He is unclean, and he shall dwell alone, and his dwelling shall be outside the camp. Spiritually, he was cut off. The law stated that a leper was required here in Leviticus chapter 13 to wear mourning clothes. He was to leave his hair in a disordered manner, leave it long or shave it off or whatever, but it was to be in a disordered manner. He was to keep his beard covered, and then he was to cry, unclean, unclean, so everyone could avoid him. The leper wasn't allowed to come within 6 feet of any person, including his family. And the disease was considered so revolting that a leper wasn't permitted to come within 150 feet of anyone when the wind was blowing. If you were a leopard and the wind's blowing down this way, you had to be over 150 feet away from anybody just so that the wind wouldn't blow the disease in that direction. And many back then believed that a leper was inflicted and cursed by God because of the sins that that person might have committed. Can you imagine being up against this? And as long as that disease was, it lasted in his life, he lived in isolation. He lived away from other people. He lived alone. And then, and of course, anyone who came in contact with the leper, if he touched the leper, that person would be undefiled, unclean. So you can imagine what this leper was going through. You can imagine what this leper was going to be treated like. But in spite of all that, he came. Even when the law was against him. In spite of that, everybody considered him dead. Despite of being outcast and ostracized by people, removed from his home, from his family, from his community, He came to Jesus in spite of being considered polluted and incurable by anybody. He came. Why? Because he heard about a man who can make him whole. Isn't that why you came? Isn't that why you have salvation? Because you heard of a man who can save you? You heard of a man who can change your life forever. I mean, how many of you have been through programs? You've gone through many programs and you were doing great. And the minute you left that program, you went right back to what you're doing. It's because the program didn't heal you. It was Jesus who healed you. He came because he heard about Jesus who can make him whole. The second point is that when this leper came, it tells us that he worshiped Jesus. Look what it says. The word worship here, it means to reverence. It means to pay homage. It means that his attitude of reverence and worship, it showed by him bowing down before Jesus. He was a desperate man, and he knew his circumstances. He knew what he was up against. And he wasn't going to allow the approach of the crowd there that would hinder him coming and bowing down to the Lord. He knew, this leper knew that he wasn't allowed to approach within a certain amount of feet of anyone, yet he didn't determine his worship of Jesus on anyone. How many times do we determine our worship of God on circumstances? How many times we determine our worship of God on others? I have people call me and say they're not going to come to church because what they're going to do the night before. And I think, wow, I don't want anything to hinder my worship of God. I think of this guy here, what his circumstances, he didn't determine his worship of Jesus on anyone. He rushed up to Jesus. He fell and prostrated himself before Jesus' feet, and he worshiped him. And by doing this, he was demonstrating two significant things, very important things. When he rushed up to Jesus and he started to worship in Jesus, two very important points here. First, his desire and willingness to get away from what? That world and its restrictions on him. That's what he was doing. The minute he ran up to Jesus, he's demonstrating, hey, I'm not going to allow this no more in my life. This leprosy, I'm not going to allow these restrictions on me, even in the law, that would hinder me from coming and worshiping the Lord. He refused it. From those things that separated him from his relationship with Jesus, he desired and will, and he was willing to not allow that anymore now to keep him from coming to Jesus. So maybe we should examine ourselves and wonder, what is it that really keeps me in fellowship with God? What is it that keeps me from morning devotions or Bible studies, men's study, women's study, getting involved? Children's matter. Children matter. Kids matter. What is it that's hindering that? Or maybe something in the world. Maybe something in the world you're doing that's keeping you from these things. Like that leper who was willing to say, enough's enough. I'm not going to allow this to now keep me and separate me from the fellowship of God. And he ran to Jesus. And the third point is that the leper asked and he trusts Jesus for cleansing. Now, notice, he just didn't ask to be healed. He didn't come up to Jesus, hey, Jesus, can you heal me, right? He didn't just ask to be healed. He asked to be cleansed. Why? Because he wanted to be restored. He wanted to be made whole again. He wanted to get back again with everybody and have everything that everybody else had or have what he used to have, what he had in the past. This man not only wanted to be cleansed, he wanted to be saved completely. He wanted to be restored back to society. He wanted to be restored back to his family. But most importantly, he wanted to be restored back with God, to be able to go back into the church. Back then, you weren't allowed to go into a church if you were considered unclean. You were removed from the synagogue. He wanted to be restored back. And then look at the words of Jesus here in verse 2. Look at his words. He says, and behold, the leper came and worshiped him, saying, Lord, if you are willing. His words shows us two things. One, It shows us his great faith in Jesus. See, this leper believed that Jesus had the power to heal him, but it was up to Jesus, right? It was just a matter of Jesus choosing to cleanse him. He left it in Jesus' hands. I love the story of Jehoshaphat when they were up against armies and they were outnumbered, and they're in Jehoshaphat, the king Jehoshaphat, and he looked up. He says, God, I have no power over this, nor do I know what to do, but my eyes are upon you. And I think that's what the leper's saying here. Hey, I have no power over this, but you know what? My eyes are upon you, Jesus, and it's just a matter of Jesus, you choosing to cleanse me, because he said, if you are willing. I'm sure he wanted to be healed. Who wouldn't, right? But he was in the presence of Jesus. And when you're in the presence of Jesus, your circumstances is different. No longer does it overpower you. You overpower it. Even if God chooses not to heal you, even if he chooses not to take it away, it doesn't overcome you. Because he doesn't give you anything you can't handle, but he gives you the way out. And those areas in my life that I struggle and I say, God, when are you going to deliver me? He says, no, because those are the very things that keep you coming back to me. Think about it. Why would he remove something that's keeping you back, keeping you coming to him? He ain't. Because if he did, you wouldn't come to him. So there's certain things in our lives that Jesus will allow and that will keep us constantly fellowshipping with him. But he wanted to be restored. He said, Lord, if you are willing. So he left it in Jesus' hand. And then second here, when he said, if you are willing, it shows that the leper was reaching out to the heart of Jesus. He wasn't reaching out to his power. He was touching the heart of Jesus. Jesus, if you are willing, because he believed and he knew that Jesus had the power to heal him. But he wanted to touch Jesus' heart. And by doing this, he was asking for the love and the power of God to heal him. He was being touched by Jesus. He wanted to come before Jesus. He wanted to get his attention. And so the leper asked to be cleansed. But isn't that what God wants, right? Isn't that the heart of God, that all men would ask and wish to be cleansed, wish to be saved? I mean, Romans chapter 10, verse 13 tells us that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord, what? Shall be saved. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20 says, now unto him who is able to do abundantly above all that we ask, all that we think, according to the power that worketh in us. You know, I think this leper did two things that we must all do as well when we ask Jesus to cleanse us. Right? When you pray and you ask Jesus, cleanse me, or Jesus, heal me. First, he fully trusted in Christ. He believed in him. He believed in his power. So must we. Second, he offered himself to Christ. He bowed down and he received the love and the power of Christ to cleanse him in his life. So must we, right? That's what he did. Look at what happened, because he did these two very things. Look what happened in verse 3. Then Jesus put out his hand, touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately the leprosy was cleansed. I love this. I love this story. Here is the Son of God. Here is the Lord Jesus Christ who was touched from the heart. Jesus was deeply touched by this leper. Just the sight of the leper, it just melted his heart. This man whose condition was wretched. You got to get a picture of this, guys. Think about this. I want you to picture this leper in your mind. His body full of open sores. Parts of his flesh is eaten away. Picture his loneliness, his desperation, his separation from God and fellowshipping with God, with others. His emptiness, his helplessness. All these conditions touch the heart of Jesus. And you want to know why? Because this is what Jesus felt when he went to the cross for us. The exact same thing that this leper went through and felt, Jesus felt when he went to the cross. Wasn't his body full of open sores from the beating? His flesh was ripped away. He felt alone in the garden when the disciples abandoned him. Remember that? Leaving him alone, standing there by himself. Remember, he dripped great drops of sweat of blood right before the time came that he had to face. Helpless. Even though he could have called down a legions of angels to help him, he didn't. But instead, what did he do? He cried out, Abba, Father, Father, why do you forsake me? He knew what this leper was going through, just like he knows what we go through, guys. Everything that you're feeling, everything you go through, he knows. Hebrews chapter 4, 15 tells us that we don't have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but with all points tempted us as we yet, but without sin. Jesus touched this leper, and notice he did it before he said anything. This leper came, Jesus, if you're willing, you can make me whole. And he didn't say nothing. He just reached out and he touched this man first. He put his hand on him. He touched him. Look at verse 3. Jesus put his hand out and he touched him before he said anything. When no one else would, Jesus would. He reached out for the most defiled. He reached out for you. He reached out for me. And I wonder, when I think about this story, because this is one of my favorite stories, I wonder how long it's been since anyone had ever touched this man. Days, weeks, months, years. Jesus had compassion on this man. He loved this man. He had such a heart. This man got his attention. And Jesus says in verse 3, I'm willing to be cleansed. Jesus said, I will. Don't you just love that? These are the very words of Jesus. And when Jesus tells us here, I will, there's several significant things about Jesus here, what he's showing. First, Jesus wasn't willing for even the most defiled person to perish. Again, 2 Peter chapter 3, the Lord's not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all shall come to repentance. I love the fact that Jesus didn't have to beg to help this man. He doesn't beg to help the most defiled. They didn't have to beg him as well. He didn't beg Jesus. All he had to do is what? Simply approach Jesus with what? A sincere heart. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart and full of assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Jesus didn't have to be paid to help the most defiled person here, this leper. And the leper did nothing but what? Come to Jesus and believe that Jesus would cleanse him. Jesus said, I will. Why? Because that's his mission. That's his purpose. In Luke chapter 19, Jesus said, today salvation to Zacharias, the wee bitty little old man, you know. That's me, Zacharias, wee bitty man. Climbed up in the tree because he was too short or couldn't get above everybody else, so he climbed up the sycamore tree. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come into this house. Why? Because he's also a son of Abraham. Abraham, for the Son of Man has come to what? Seek and to save that which is lost. He says in Matthew chapter 9, those who are well have no need of physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, but I didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners to repent. And then in verse 20 of Matthew, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. See, Jesus came to seek and to save which was lost. No matter how defiled they are, I think this should be the mission of the church and the purpose of the church as well. Same mission. Isn't that what he tells us in John chapter 20? He said, peace to you. As the Father sent me, I send you. Who's a you? Yeah. Don't say you. The you is you. You, not me, you. I'm the you too. Yeah, the you too. Mark chapter 16, Jesus said, go to the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Every creature. Now, I don't want you to go out there and start talking to the animals and dogs and stuff like that, thinking, okay, I don't want to talk to that person because it's hard to talk to people. No, go to every creature. Matthew chapter 28, Jesus said, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe all things that I command you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Jesus cleansed this leper because this leper acknowledged Jesus in his power. So guess what? He received that power to be healed. He was cleansed physically, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, and even ceremonially. And notice that Jesus cleansed the man immediately, right? He didn't hesitate. There was no waiting. The man was sincere with Jesus. Jesus knew his sincerity. He knew his heart. And he cleansed him immediately. Just reach out, touch them. I am willing. I will. That's what it means. I am willing. He's really saying, I will. Look at verse 4. And Jesus said, see that you tell no one, but go your way. Show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them. So here Jesus tells the man, not the leper, he tells the man. Because he ain't a leopard no more. He wasn't a leopard anymore. He told the cleansed man, hey, now go obey the law. Go obey the law for two reasons. For two reasons, Jesus told him this. One, Jesus cared for this man. He wanted him to be restored. He wanted him to be accepted. He wanted him to be reunited with his family, with his friends, with his community. In order for that to happen, he would have to be proven that he was cured. So he had to go to the priest for confirmation of his healing. And then second, Jesus wanted this man to respect the word of God, God's law. He wanted him to walk in it. He wanted him to remain in the word of God for life. And I'm going to leave you with this. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Jesus said, come unto me, all of you who labor and are heavily laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Amen. Isn't that beautiful? And that is the words of Jesus telling us today. So as we prepare for communion, I want you to think about this leper, and I want you to put yourself in his shoes, because that's what sin is. It's like leprosy. And it kills us spiritually, and it kills us physically as well. Put yourself in his shoes. And as you partake in communion, see yourself coming to Jesus, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me cleansed. And then feel the touch of Jesus and say, I will. Let's prepare for communion.